your nose because the bull's about to fly.
Ow. Now, here's Greg Vogue and News Channel 5's John Burton.
Ow. Ow. Let's go!
Oh, I like it!
It's up to you now! It's up to you!
I like it!
And now, it's time for A Coach's View with Watson Brown. Brought to you by Richard Courtney Realty.
Thursday morning, usually Wednesday, but Watson is now with us today because the sun is shining. When Watson comes on, the sun shines, right? Watson, how you doing, man?
Oh, good Lord, that's deep. That is deep.
By the way, I have a proclamation, because when I break them out, I don't go back unless I'm in, you know, professional or personal settings where I need to wear long pants. I broke out the shorts today, and I will wear shorts every day till Thanksgiving unless I'm in some kind of setting where they don't fit, or they usually don't fit anyway.
That is neat for you to say, because I did the same thing. I'm sitting here in a pair of shorts right now, so, and I ain't going back. I'm done.
I do need to get some of that copper tone tan, though, browning.
These two things are sitting, I'm looking at, are rather white.
Right? Yeah, I walked in the studio this morning and Patton looked the other way. He was like, he's blinded.
Well, don't feel like you're by yourself.
Watson, I want to talk a little bit about UAB. Of course, you were the former AD and football coach there, and I got a line that I'm going to steal, and I'm going to give Hawkeye Jason the credit for it. Tonight, FAU versus UT is being called the Lane Kiffin Bowl because he coached at both places.
That's right.
Well, Hawkeye Jason, and I'm stealing it, and it's mine now. Well, last night, UAB Vanderbilt was the Watson Brown Bowl because you coached at both places.
I did, and even AD at one of them, too. So I spent 12 years at UAB, and I spent 13 years through the times at Vanderbilt. So 25 years of my life have been at those two places, and so I couldn't lose last night. My daughter texted me about halfway through the game, and it was nip and tuck at that point, and she says, "Who are you pulling for?" I said, "Honestly, Jenny, I'm for the one that wins, because I don't lose here. Both places mean a lot to me, and I didn't even see this part of the second half because I couldn't, but." And then I saw where UAB won, and I was proud for the Blazers and proud for Vanderbilt on the year they had, because they really turned it around. There's no doubt about it. But so that was a neat night for me. It really was.
Well, Jenny and I think alike, because she took my question, because that's what I was going to ask you.
She said, "Who are you really pulling for?" And I said, "Honestly, the one that wins. I don't care. I don't lose in this one." And she giggled and said, "Yep, so I think I understand that."
Talk about being the AD and football coach, but certainly the AD at UAB in that state where you've got Alabama that they wouldn't come over there and I was going to say pee on you if you're on fire, but I wasn't going to go that far. But anyway, they don't care. They've tried to shut the football program down, for a minute. Auburn and what it is in that state, where all of the advantages go financially, certainly, and everything to Auburn and Alabama, UAB, South Alabama, Jacksonville State, and what they've done there. There are a lot of good football and athletic programs in that state other than just Alabama and Auburn.
You know, it's a lot like Tennessee. Same thing here. We got a lot of football programs in this state. But Alabama, the state absolutely loves high school and college football. They don't have the pro sports. That's how they're unique. That state is still unique because it's all college football and high school football and then, of course, the other sports. So it's neat. But when I went back, I'd been in Alabama before at Jacksonville State, long time ago, as the offensive coordinator there back in the 70s and mid to late 70s. And then so I'd been in the state, and I understood the Alabama-Auburn piece. But when I went back and I truly understood, everybody in that state, Pokey and John, is either an Alabama fan or an Auburn fan. Everybody. You got to pick. Because you're going to have to take sides in friendship ways and everything. It's the most unique state I've ever been in. Mississippi State, Ole Miss, a lot like it, but I don't think even to this point. And so everybody's an Alabama or Auburn fan. So I knew when I went to UAB, I've got to take Alabama fans and Auburn fans and make them second fans to UAB. It's the only way it's going to work, because you couldn't be a UAB fan. You had to be Alabama, Auburn, then UAB. And basically that's the way it worked and the way we built the program. And it's neat. You talked about doing both. I did both the second half probably of my time there, maybe a little less than that. And it's hard. I don't know that it can be done anymore. There's so much now in both jobs. But I'm not sure you can do both jobs anymore. I did it twice. I did it at Rice, and then I did it at UAB. And I thought it hurt my football job when I took it over at UAB. But when I took it over, guys, the resolution came. There was a resolution before the resolution, and nobody really remembers that. The board came out with a resolution that if you don't knock this budget, the athletic budget, down, we were $11 million in the hole, and the university was picking up the differences. You can't do that in this state, but that state, the university, if they had the money from somewhere else, they could pay the bills. We had to knock it down $1 million a year. If we didn't knock it down $1 million a year, they were shutting the program down. So that was the first shot at shutting the program down. Well, we knocked it down $1 million a year while I did it as AD, but it hurt the football, and I knew that I was going to have to get out. I went back to be the football coach for 1 year and be an interim AD, and then I ended up leaving to go to Tennessee Tech. So it's really hard, but I love the place. We started football, scholarship football, from scratch, and God knows I've had so many great memories at Vanderbilt. Also, as a coach, guys, you learn there's good memories and there's bad. There's always bad things that happen, there's good things that happen. And so every school, you got that. But both of those schools I spent more time at than any places I've ever been, and proud to be members of both places.
You know, like you, you're son of a, like me, we're sons of high school coaches. With the wins and the losses you were just talking about later in life with my father, I asked him, you know, what were some of, you know, the favorite, you know, wins? And he goes, well, he couldn't really remember, but he could name the top five losses because they they stuck with him so long.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. isn't that amazing about life?
Yeah.
And I tell players this all the time. I say, guys, I brag on you. These coaches here brag on you and brag on you and brag on you. Then we get on you one time, and that's all you remember. And it's kind of life. You do that, and you remember the tough things, and you kind of let the good things go away. And that's that old theory of glass half full, glass half empty. And if I can motivate all of us, it's to try to learn to be glass half full. Try to remember the goods and learn from the bads instead of remembering the bads and forgetting the goods. And as I've retired, I've gotten a little better at that, but it's still hard.
Well, I need to record that and send that to my wife. We've been married almost 33 years. I guarantee you she can name the top five screw ups I've done. In over 30 years.
Mine can do the same thing. And we've been 50.
Wow. Coach's View, Watson Brown, presented by Richard Courtney Real Estate as well. I thought it was interesting about after the FAU win this past, Saturday, I believe. And well, anyway, to play UT, and someone asked the coach, Dusty May, in the postgame about, you know, Tennessee. And he said, well, I'm going to have to go. He backpedaled on it yesterday up in Madison Square Garden. But I've got to go, you know, learn Australian rules or Australian football or rugby rules. In general, how much baiting of the officiating do you do a week or two ahead, knowing there's certain tendencies of certain teams, that you go ahead and start baiting a little of that and trying to set maybe a seed and to get the officiating to go your way?
I think that's done within that week, and believe me, that's all that was. But yeah. Then there were other people that took shots at Tennessee that bothered me. There were other coaches and media that took shots at Tennessee for the way they played. And that's one of the biggest wins they've had up there in a long while. And yet, I think they did it their way and within the rules. The officials didn't call certain things that bite them or might not, but that's within the rules. So why are you taking shots at Tennessee here? They've played that way and caught grief for playing that way. Fans say it's boring, it's blah, blah, blah. And yet here they go and win in their style, and then everybody wants to take shots that was unfair. It was not unfair.
Well, Jay Billis.
They played it the right way. They played their style to me, Pogi. But then when the FAU coach did it, now I give Rick Barnes a lot of credit. I'm not sure I could have done what he did. I think I'd have shot back in a heartbeat at some of that. But he kept his mouth shut, kind of giggled at it, made a little comment about it, but went on past it and give him credit. But the FAU coach did it for one reason, and one reason alone. That's to bait the officials. They are human beings, and I think that's what he was doing. Now, he's backed off of it a little bit since he got there, but he already got it put in their brain, so he can back off now. It's already going to be in those three guys' brain that's going to call it. And let's see how it's called. I can't wait to watch the game tonight to see how it's called, to tell you the truth.
Is it counterintuitive, though, because those officials think, oh, if we call it that way, we're responding to the baiting?
Yeah, could be. Football, it's harder to do that. When you bait the officials in football, it's usually not during the week to the press. It's you always meet with the officials in football one-on-one by yourself and the officials, at least three of them. And that's when you bait them. Before the game, they come to you before you go out for warm-ups and all that. They come to your locker room, meet with you one-on-one, just the head coach and them, and there's where you bait them. Now, this team, watch this right here. This team is real bad about holding on pass protection. Watch 78 close now. I'm telling you, he is really a bad holder. That's what you do in football. In basketball, it's a little easier to do it publicly. Football, it's kind of hard to do that.
But this, I look at Michigan State. They're very much the same way, right? They play you knee to knee, chest to chest, nose to nose, and
absolutely they do. And those two could play each other. That could happen.
The over under.
They wear helmets and shoulder pads that night. There's no telling what might.
That one, the first of 50. If it's Tennessee, Michigan State, the first of 50 wins.
The first of 50 is going to win the game, and whoever's still walking after it's over.
Do you fill out a bracket?
That's what I loved about the Duke game, Pokey. Yeah. Duke took it and came right back at them. They gave it their best shot. Duke did not back down. But what happened is Tennessee is so much older, stronger, mature physical-wise that by about 5 minutes going to game, when Duke usually makes their runs, they were wore out. They had nothing left in their bodies. And I said after the game, I said, Duke may not be able to walk for a week after this is over. But Duke did not back down whatsoever. They shot their best shot. It just that the physicality ended up wearing them down.
And I love Jay Villis whining about it. Of course, where did he go?
Oh, right? Come on. Give me a break.
Mm-hmm.
It's basketball. If it was within the rules, because that's the way the rules played out in that game. That's I don't like that. That's what I'm saying. That really irritated me. Because if anybody deserves a break and brag on him finally, it's Rick Barnes and the Tennessee basketball team. I mean, they've caught grief for their style and being defensive-oriented and conservative and don't let the players loose and play. And he stuck to his guns and believes in what he does, and it worked. Give him credit for it. He won a big game. I think he's going to win another one tonight. I do. I think they beat FAU tonight. If they can handle the pressure. What I've said about Tennessee all year, I think they're really good underdogs. Like when they played Alabama at home, I think they just lost to Vanderbilt and to Missouri back-to-back. And everybody says they got no chance. Man, they loosened up and they beat Alabama good that night. Well, it's a little bit of Duke. Same thing. Everybody said nobody thinks Tennessee can beat Duke. Well, now it's back on the shoes on the other foot again, guys, and now they're the favorite again. They need to go out there tonight just as loose as they were against Duke and play the exact same way and don't let the pressure get to them.
By the way, I don't think you know this. I haven't just let John talk. He's not here. He's up in New York.
Oh, no, I didn't know that. Well, wherever John is, tell him I said hi. I missed him yesterday.
Yeah, he's been up. He went up to New York Tuesday, and if they win tonight, he's up there covering for News Channel 5 at Madison Square Garden. So
good for him.
Yeah, and if they win, he won't be coming back till Sunday.
Trip. That's one I would have liked to have done on.
Yeah, have you ever been to Madison Square Garden?
Walk in it.
Yep.
Recruiting a kid up there one time and walked into Yankee Stadium, walked into there. Never seen a game at either place. Both of them meant a lot to me just to walk in and see the place.
Well, I saw the Predators play at the Garden, and I went to Yankee Stadium, old Yankee Stadium.
Oh, that's great memories you'll never forget, buddy, right there.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember them.
That's why I love Duke and what they did with Cameron Indoor. They kept it Cameron Indoor. And I hated to see Yankee Stadium change. It's very nice and all that. I hated to see Boston Garden change. It's nice and all that. There's just some histories with some of us old guys that it's hard to let go, man.
Well, Cameron Indoor, I was lucky enough to call one there. TSU played there. And you talk about, the hallowed grounds and all of that. But to get up to the press area where the radio was, you had to climb up a ladder. And actually, the Duke play-by-play guy actually broke his leg one time, falling off of it. And you're up in this perch, and you think, I'm going to die. I mean, it's just right. It's amazing. You think, well, this is Duke. This is Cameron Indoor. But it's very basic. It really is. There's really not a lot, not a lot to it. Yeah.
But the history, the tradition with that old place, my grace, Bogey, I just hate seeing that go away. And that's a guy that's lived his life now, and he's getting on up in age, and just the memories mean so much. And all those games I used to watch in the Boston Garden when I was pulling against them, because I was a Lakers fan in those days. Just that kind of stuff. And I grew up a Yankee fan because Mickey Mantle was my idol and helped recruit me. He and Bill Pace, my head coach, grew up together in Pitcher, Oklahoma.
Okay, hold on. We're going to set this up. You got recruited to Vanderbilt by Mickey Mantle.
I did. I came to he met me for supper in Nashville, and we sat and talked a long time, and Coach Pace was with him, and he told me the background of the two. And, yes, that's why Mickey Mantle, my two idols growing up, Mickey Mantle and Joe Namath. And both of them New York guys, played in New York. But Mickey Mantle was my idol. Yeah. And you think that didn't have a part for me going to Vanderbilt. Jeez, that was neat now.
I've never heard that one, Watson.
That is a true story.
I believe you. Well, get out and get some sun on those legs today, okay?
Need it desperately. My wife has already told me that. So. She says, please do something with those two legs.
All right. Thank you, Watson. Back on Wednesday
all
next
right,
week.
Buddy.
Hey, by the
Sorry
way.
Sorry about yesterday. No, that's we'll
cool.
see you next week.
Hey, by the way, got a text from Dane, one of our great callers. Watson Brown is really good on the radio. I concur.
Oh, tell Dane thank you, because it's an honor for me to be on with you guys.
And he's a UT fan.
Well, good for him. He's had a good year. He's had a good year if he's a UT fan. Starting with baseball last year. He's had a good year.
Thanks, Watson.
Okay, guys.
All right, Watson Brown. Could sit and talk all day with him.